Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Finding an affordable place to live is one of the biggest challenges facing Californians, and it can be particularly difficult for aging residents in need of a safe place to call home. And many would like to live independently at home as they get older. A nonprofit in Butte County developed a novel approach, creating a home sharing model that's working to tackle aging safely at home and affordable housing all under one roof. It's called Home and Heart. Joining us is Home and Heart's executive director, Catherine Carcuff. Catherine, welcome to Insight.
Thank you, Vicky. Glad to be here. And yes, a nicer morning for sure.
Absolutely. Hopefully a break from the triple digits. Can you explain the idea behind Home and Heart and how this nonprofit began?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm a social work major person in the world, and the two founders are as well. And what you see in social work is that everyone sort of gravitates towards younger folks and children and families. And in every social work department, there's very little focus on older adults. And so our two founders actually met in the social work department. They were professor and master's student, and really kind of talking about this crisis that you were just mentioning of older adults wanting to age safely in their homes, really struggling to do so on limited incomes and skyrocketing housing prices and inflation and all of those things. And so in 2018, they just decided to research, and they found Home Share Vermont, which is sort of the mother of the home sharing programs. They've been doing this work for about 40 years, and they have a toolkit to basically start their model in your own town. And so us and a number of other people, there's actually 17 different home sharing organizations throughout California, have sort of done this to respond to this dual crisis in our communities, of helping older adults age safely in place and addressing a housing crisis that is disproportionately affecting older adults.
So how do you explain simply how it works for someone learning about a home sharing model like this for the first time?
Yeah, well, you basically, it goes down into two different types of folks. You have home seekers, and those are people who are looking for affordable housing. Depending on the model, maybe they also have some like caregiving experience. And then you have folks who are looking, home providers who are looking to share their home with somebody else. And so models vary, but basically you're matching those two folks. Some people take more of a hands-off approach. They rely on databases, really allow the independence of home seekers and home providers to find themselves. We take a slightly different approach, definitely more of a social work minded model. We really believe that for this to work successfully, there really does need to be good relationships, good trust, and high touch throughout the process. And so that's kind of the approach we take. Case management is foundational to our work. And so we do that every step of the process. And we use person-centered approaches when we're working with clients, and we use trauma-informed approaches when we're working with clients. Mm.
You know, given that this nonprofit or the program began in early 2018, you know, this was at a time when the city of Chico had less than a 2% vacancy rate. And then later that year, the campfire happened in the town of Paradise, which is a neighboring town outside of Chico, in November of 2018. This was happening really when this program was in its infancy, and there was clearly a housing demand because of the campfire. How did that shape the direction of Home to Heart?
That's a great question. I mean, I think the campfire is a lot of the reason we became an organization so quickly. It started out as kind of a project out of the time bank. And then the minute the campfire hit, we knew that the community needed this model really quickly. And so that allowed us to kind of get our own insurance, form our own nonprofit, and start to date, about, depending on the year, between 25 and 33% of our clients are fire survivors. We, you know, older adults were especially affected by the campfire as well. We have a lot of folks that might have been able to rebuild or might have been able to keep their home, but now they have less family around, and now they have a big house and they're older and it's harder for them to take care of it. Or they just need someone to be there. You know, I think a lot of our work is really, we know that falls account for the largest injury for older adults. And we've really seen that in a lot of our home sharing matches with older adults, even just having a roommate there that, you know, when you have a fall in the middle of the night or something like that, there's someone that's there. We've seen that literally save lives in our program. So yeah, I would say the campfire was definitely a catalyst for us becoming, like, turning into an idea in a classroom into a nonprofit model. And that definitely catapulted, you know, our launch into the community. And, you know, we've just been seeing more and more demand in the last 3, now 4 years that we've been doing this work.
Yeah, because you had the campfire and then obviously the pandemic as well. And that created an even more strained affordable housing crisis. How many people have you helped since the nonprofit's founding, you know, about 5 years ago?
Yeah, so we did our first match in 2019. We sort of had to launch policies and procedures and organizational processes, and working with other home sharing organizations is really pivotal to that, because there are some folks in the Bay Area that have been doing this for 40 years. So really kind of having someone to go to when we're figuring out how this works for the county has been really pivotal. So in 2019, we did our first match, and then that's also when we officially became a nonprofit. And since then, we've done about 23 matches to date. And what we find is that's part of our work, and that's a huge part of our work. But because we are sort of working in collaboration with other housing organizations, folks call our program all the time with a lot of need. And our model isn't necessarily a good fit for rapid rehousing. This work takes a lot of time. We do a thorough kind of onboarding process. And then, you know, all of these really thrive in trust, and that takes time. But we do case management and intakes for folks who, you know, are looking for housing. And I think one of the numbers I'm even more proud of is that we've referred 44 people who we didn't have any matches for, but we've referred them to other housing opportunities that have led to them being housed. And so we kind of take this dual approach, because we believe at Home and Heart that every heart deserves a home.
Yeah. Given that, you know, this is not rapid rehousing, you're not just placing people into homes, there's kind of like a matchmaking process that goes into mm-hmm. this. Can you walk us through, you know, what a homeowner and a potential renter, kind of the journey they're on before they actually, you know, become roommates?
Yeah, and it is a process. So we start out with an intake. Folks usually find us maybe through a radio show like this, or when we're out in the community, they fill out an application. And if there's any barriers to filling out that application, they can just call us and we can actually come to their house and help them do it. Or whatever they may need. Once they fill out that application, they do an intake with us. And that's really our opportunity to kind of see what services they're already getting, what they might not even know about that we can help them access. And then what really their needs are. And that's kind of one of the more complex things, because especially on the home provider side for older adults, they're usually coming to us with family. And some of those needs can be different. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the family might want someone to do home sharing more than that older adult kind of wants to do home sharing. So that's our opportunity to really kind of get to build relationship with the person and the family that they might be bringing, and what they really need in that moment and what they want in that moment. And then from there, we have a database that we use that searches compatibility, although we're really a small team. So a lot of times it just comes from talking to our other staff members. And then when we see compatibility based on the needs and wants of two parties, we'll introduce them. And We also are there for that process so that we can sort of facilitate that meeting and then debrief with both of those folks afterwards. If both folks want to move forward, we engage in what we call a trial match. And not all home sharing programs do this, but we really love this idea. We have someone live, a home seeker would come to a home provider's house with about the equivalent of a backpack worth of stuff and just try living together for two weeks. We have a comprehensive kind of living together agreement that we go over at the start of this match, but we don't sign it until the end because we imagine that things are going to shift and change in that process. At the end of that trial match, if both parties decide it's a match, then we officially call it a match. And we start their sort of match journey, which is regular follow-ups and case management throughout.
Do rental agreements, you know, after that 2 week interim period, they clear that they're cool to live with each other. Do these agreements vary from home to home in terms of, you know, what is expected of the renter in terms of like whether they're paying or, you know, if yeah. there's some duties that are required of them?
Yeah. And you're really hitting at our three different ways that we allow people to home share. So we have just a rent only agreement. And the fewest people actually do this. That would just be like, I don't want to go on Craigslist. I want to go through a provider that's vetting folks because we do background checks and reference checks on all of our intakes. And so sometimes an older adult might just want to rent their room. They don't need services, but they don't want to necessarily get someone on Craigslist because trust me, we've heard horror stories of that not turning out well. And then that's a rent only agreement. And so that living together agreement looks a little bit different. And then we have what's called a service exchange. And that would be for an older adult who has more needs to be able to stay safely in their home. And we kind of draw the line at someone has to be able to take care of themselves. And we do not ask seekers to do hands-on caregiving. So it's just custodial help. But there's a lot that a home seeker can do for that, whether it's, you know, transporting them to doctor's appointments, helping out with laundry, groceries, kind of the line that I always like to say is they can remind people to take medication, but they can't give the medication. And so that's a service exchange where no money is really exchanged. And then a lot of people do kind of an in-between, which is a mixed of like, I need help with the yard work and I also need income. So can you come and stay with me for $400 a month and do 10 hours of yard work?
In the last 30 seconds that we have, I'm just curious, you're giving us a lot of like anecdotes and scenarios because, I mean, you matched the first people and back in 2019. How does it feel like 4 years later, just seeing momentum pick up and this program working?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're big fans. We think every town, every county should have this model because you do learn so much about the needs of older adults who are really isolated, especially in rural areas. And so I think a program like this really, it should be in every town, in every county. And when this works, we have the most beautiful sort of displays of mutual benefit that like bring me to tears when they happen. We're about to celebrate a 2-year anniversary for a 92-year-old and a 69-year-old. And they, you know, the home seeker takes the home provider out on adventures. The last time I checked in with them, they had just driven up to some place that the home provider always wanted to go to and got lost and were laughing the whole time. And just the beautiful mutual benefit of the relationships that is built is it just gets me every time.
Catherine Karkoff is the executive director of Home to Heart. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you.
And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.